Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, he has had a few months off to travel the world and write a book, but, but the prodigal son returns. Mark Hadley, our TV critic, welcome back.
I wish I lived my life. When I hear you say it, I think to myself, my goodness, wouldn't that be a good thing to do?
Oh, who is that? Oh, it's me. See, the thing that gets me a bit, though, is you had 2 months off and you finished a book.
Yeah, well...
And I've been researching my last book for 3 years and I got a page written this week, 2 days.
Well, tell you what, anybody who wants to read this horrible piece of fiction can just email you and I'll send them a copy.
Look forward to hearing more about Mark Hadley, the author, in time. But well, I'll keep you with your TV critic's hat on for the time being. We're focusing on Packed to the Rafters, Channel 7's TV program, been going for a while. How are ratings going on it? Do you know actually what kind of response it's getting?
Look, only in the most general sense, but the ratings are particularly good. This is not a great period for really judging things, but here's a snapshot from a producer's point of view. Okay, these days, broadcasters allow less and less time for a program to hit its straps. So the fact that we're actually in episode 8... Okay, and Channel 7, let me, a little bit of insider knowledge here. The first series has already been shot of Packed to the Rafters, but Channel 7 is so confident that they've taken out a 3-year lease on the home it's being shot in Sydney.
Okay.
It's pretty solid that there's going to be a second series and maybe more. So to my mind, 7 is quite happy with the response.
Yes, yes. All right, so it's all about a couple of baby boomers, really, who have their empty nest era stolen them away from them.
Yeah, I think it's about, if it were such a thing, the great Australian dream, which is no longer about just getting your house paid off or something like that. It's actually about, you know, getting the house paid off, the kids off your hands, and suddenly being young enough to still enjoy it. Mm. But the truth is, it's sort of like the dream meets reality, because, I mean, our two main characters are Julie and Dave Rafter, and they have moved to this point where they're watching the last child walk out the door. Strangely, he only moves next door. But anyway, I mean, I guess that's a dramatic thing. You've got to keep him close for him to walk in and borrow the cornflakes. But they're just seeing this moment where in which they can actually sort of taste the freedom that life has always promised, but it's always been just over the horizon. And what actually happens is a series of dilemmas in the first 3 episodes that bring a whole lot of adult children straight back into the home. Julie's dad, played by Michael Caton. By the way, so career performances by Michael Caton, really good stuff.
He's very broad, isn't he? I mean, he's done these soapy type things, and he did The Castle, which I'll never forget him in.
Yeah.
And then he's gone and done the kind of backyard bits type of things, whatever he was doing.
Sure, he's presenting
the house one that he was doing, whatever it was called. Hot Property.
Thank you.
And now he's back into drama like this.
I think actually he got a really good rise from The Castle. He was one of those people who's actually made some wise decisions afterwards. Mm. And the truth is, he's the quintessential Australian bloke. And he's kind of picking up almost where Jack Thompson left off. He is the grandfather. The sudden death of his wife has brought on a little bit of emotional instability, and he doesn't want to live at home at the moment. And so Julie and husband Dave have brought him home. But then Dave loses his job, and so now the key breadwinner is no longer, you know, bringing in the money. Then you've got 3 children. So you've got Nathan, the youngest, and he's just got married, but there's a bit of a financial crisis going on there, so he moves back home. And then you've got the daughter, Rachel, who is, you know, in an abusive relationship with a boyfriend. And the last few weeks have unfolded that he was an ice addict and all this sort of stuff. It's terrible. And so basically, you've got these situations where no sane parent would ever say no, but emotionally they might be going, oh, give me a break. You know, it's just unbelievable. We were so close.
To having the place to ourselves again.
Yeah.
And then in walks this storyline of credit card debt, which is kind of a nice little tie-in with the financial situation.
It is amazing. And to be honest, if there's 5 members to the family, or 6 if you count granddad, and the 7th character that is always there every week, and it doesn't matter which one we're looking at, is the spectre of financial ruin. And the spectre of financial ruin is kind of like death walking around in the background of all these storylines. Hmm. And you're right. Because these programs take so long to put together, I don't think that they could have gone, oh, I see there's a financial collapse on the horizon, we better start doing
a program. Yeah.
This stuff was made a year ago, you know, and so in that regard, they have had a very good windfall, because, you know, we're looking at a situation that has immediate traction with Australians today. It doesn't matter if you're Nathan and his wife, the young couple, who have got themselves into $30,000 worth of credit card debt just because it was too easy. or whether you're like Granddad, who is financially secure, but he's got a pension, and you're looking at sort of like instability in the markets, and what does that mean? Or Dave and Julian, Dave's lost his job. Or Rachel, who sort of had her life tied up with this abusive boyfriend, and now she can't go back to the apartment. People face financial troubles. In fact, speaking of books a little earlier, if you don't mind me playing on this, there was a conference once of American authors, and they were asked what were the three main things that audiences, you know, wanted to read about. And the strangest one, which was the number one one, was anxiety, that they actually had this in common. Mm-hmm. You know, so their stories mm-hmm. would always go through anxiety because people worry.
Empathy and pathos. Somebody else out there is actually experiencing this.
And if you're going to worry today, you're going to worry about money. It's an interesting thing. So if you drag me towards what I think of the program, it's actually really good because in the midst of all this anxiety, they keep on coming back to one answer. And I was kind of stunned by this. Their one answer to almost everything, whether it be emotional instability or financial crisis or whatever, is be honest. You cannot help but be honest, and lies will get you nowhere. Now, we might think this is just like motherhood and apple pie, but the truth is, this has not been the theme in television for a number of years now, because the theme in television has been lies serve a purpose. You know, and you know it, you're in this sort of like comic situation and someone tells a little lie to get around a situation or to make another person feel better, or, you know, the little lie is actually championed, the right lie at the right point, and people are through the door, or they're successful, or the crisis is averted. Tell people what they want to hear. That is actually, you know, been the credo of drama. But now, you know, the rafters come in and they say, look, the little lies begin the rot. Michael Caton turns around his granddad and says, a man can be boxed into a corner because of pride and shame, but men don't lie. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're just sort of going, oh, gosh, this is a marvellous way to start a series.
Love to know what kind of books the writers and the producers
absolutely,
are reading at
absolutely.
The moment.
No, I think that they're actually doing us a favour, because being a Christian, I believe in providence. There's a God out there who's actually organising the television schedules.
Yes.
And I think to that degree, it is good for Australia in the crisis, whether you be sort of a high-flying financial advisor, or whether you be mum and dad just trying to work out how they're going to deal with a mounting debt and things like that, or you know, lost jobs, that principles actually have a payoff.
Yes.
That if you trust in the fact that truth means something, there is a payoff. And the payoff may be truth itself, because the beaut thing about Pack to the Rafters is that the storylines don't resolve themselves at the end. So you get to the end of the series, and it's not like they're sitting there going, oh, the end of each episode, and they're not going, whew, isn't it good that
it's all fixed
in?
Up.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, but luckily we found a counsellor who's going to deal with this or whatever. Mm. They actually have truth as its own reward. You know, so people go, look, we may still be facing the debts at the end of the day, but you and I are all right. And this is what Dave says to his wife, Julie, played by Rebecca Gibney. If I don't have you believing in me, if you and I aren't all right, then I can't go forward.
Well, that's very strong. All right, Mark Hadley, well, let's get your final verdict then on Pack to the Rafters.
Look, I'm still watching. And for a guy who has to watch things for reviews, so you usually cut around the fourth, you know, the fact that I'm up to the eighth or ninth episode, I've lost count now, means that I think I'll actually add this to my personal viewing as opposed to what I have to do professionally.
Okay, good on you. Thanks, Mark.
See you, mate.
It's nice to have you back. Our resident TV critic, Mark Hadley from Anglican Media, you will find his full review at theopenhouse.net.au.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.